So what are you waiting for? What do you have to lose? Your insecurities try to alter you. You know you're made for more, so don't be afraid to move. Your faith is all it takes, and you can walk on the water too. So get out and let your fear fall to the ground. No time to waste, don't wait, and don't let you turn around and miss out everything.
Thank you, Kayla. Good job. I requested that song from her because this morning we're going to start by talking about Peter. And Peter was in a boat with the other disciples. And as he was in the boat with the other disciples, he had an opportunity. He could get up out of the boat or he could stay in the boat. And I think this parallels our lives. We can live our lives in the boat, in comfort, with what we enjoy, or we can step out onto the water. See, Peter and the disciples, it was a stormy night, and Jesus had told them to go out onto the water. In fact, he commanded them to go to the other side. And then he sends a storm and holds them up. And so they were actually toiling all night, but they're in a boat. Most of them are fishermen. They're used to being in a boat. They're okay. And about between 3 and 6 a.m., all of a sudden, they see this figure walking out to them. Now, 11 of the disciples did just what I'm doing right now. They sat in the boat. They said, it's a ghost! And Peter says, Lord, is that you? And the Lord said, yes. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, invite me to come out onto the water. And the Lord said, come. And Peter stood up and stepped out of the boat. No, you sit back down. Peter got out of the boat and he walked out on the water. See, as Peter writes what he writes in 1 Peter 4, and that's where we need to start this morning, 1 Peter chapter 4, as Peter writes that, he is remembering a time where he had to step out of his comfort zone, where he had to step out in faith and know that it was all about the Lord and not about himself. He had to know that all of his insecurities, he had to lay them aside because he had a God who was able to help him. All right, now this is too far down and I can't read it. 1 Peter chapter 4. Well, nothing's going to cooperate here. There was a man every day, he would leave work. He's pushing a wheelbarrow. And he'd have a little box on top of the wheelbarrow. And the security guard said, you need to stop. I need to see what's in that box. Security guard was suspecting him of stealing something from work. And so the man said, sure, you can look inside. And the guard said, well, what's in here? He said, sawdust. So the guard looked inside. He felt around the box. Nothing was in there, just sawdust. And so he said, okay, you can go. Next day, same thing. The guard says, well, what's in there? Sawdust. So he looks in the box and feels around. Same thing, just sawdust. This happens for about 2 weeks. Finally, the guard says, listen, I know that you're stealing something, and I have not been able to catch you, and so you know what? I won't even tell, but I'm just really curious. What are you stealing? And the man said, oh, wheelbarrows. You see, here's where we are so many times in our faith. We're right here. We live in the chair. We live in comfort. And we totally miss what God has for us. We're completely unaware of some of the great things that He wants to do. We're so focused on a box of sawdust, we don't see the wheelbarrow. So here in 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to start reading in verse 7. It says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. I love that. We're not just supposed to love each other. We're supposed to have an intense love for each other. And what does that do? It covers a multitude of sins. I am so glad my wife loves me, because if she didn't, we'd be in big trouble. But love covers a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one toward another without grudging. As every man has received the gift, even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as to the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. See, if we speak, we're supposed to speak as if we're speaking the oracles of God. You know what we can't do? If we're speaking the oracles of God, we cannot gripe and complain. Because God doesn't gripe and complain. How many times in Scripture does God gripe and complain? No, He just sends a flood. God doesn't gripe and complain about our situations. We speak as we're speaking the very oracles, the very words, as if God's mouth was opening and His voice was flowing through us. And when we minister, we don't do it so that we can get a pat on the back. We do it because we want to serve God and others. Verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. I don't like that because I like to sit here, you know. But this verse tells me that I am going to have fiery trials. they are going to try us as though some strange thing happened to you. Don't think it's strange when you go through hardship for your Christian life. Don't be like, what? That's not what I signed up for. I mean, Jesus died on a cross and he bled and he died and I'm not supposed to ever suffer. But rejoice. What? So when I go through hardship, when things are tough, I'm supposed to rejoice? Rejoice, it simply means that we return to God. Joy, that's rejoice. We send joy back to God. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. You see, here's the thing. If you never suffer as a Christian, you never go through any hardship, you're always in the lazy boy. You're always in the easy chair. You won't know what it's like to bring back glory to God. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. When's the last time someone got mad at you because you're a Christian and you're like, oh, thank you, Lord. For the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he's evil spoken of. But on your part, he is glorified. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's business, or other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Let me read that again. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of those that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator. Let me give you three quick little points here from this passage. First of all, if I'm not willing to put my gift to use, then I am not willing to serve. God gives us gifts, every single one of us. There's not a single person here that has not been gifted by God to serve. And you say, yeah, but service is hard. That's the point. Christ suffered, so it will be hard. The things that are hardest at the end bring about the most joy. The most difficult task that is accomplished brings about the most fulfillment. And the life that serves through difficulty will bring about the most glory. And so if you're not willing to put your gift to use, you're not willing to serve. See, when Jesus walked out onto the water to meet his disciples, 11 of them sat in the boat. They just sat there. They weren't willing to go into a fiery trial. Of course, it was a watery trial. Peter knew what it was like to step out in faith. Now, he failed too. He took his eyes off Jesus. He started to sink. And he said, Lord, help me. And right away, the Lord was there to pull him up and take him into the boat. You know, those other 11 disciples never knew the feeling of failing. And sometimes we need the feeling of failing. I almost played for you a little video, and I think I've played it here before. It's A Deep Thought by a Shallow Christian. And it talks about helping millions of people a year by knowing them. Because you probably wouldn't be good at what you're asked to do anyway. So by not helping, you're actually helping. That is so contrary to Scripture. God gifts us. And you say, well, I'm not very good. Doesn't matter. You serve God. Peter was not good at walking on water. That was the first and only time he ever did it. And while he did it, he failed. But he knew what it was like to get out there. He put his gift. What was his gift? Really, his gift was putting his foot in his mouth. He did. He was wonderful at that. When Jesus said, "Who do people say that I am?" Peter said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the Living God." Jesus is like, "Yeah, all right, Peter. All right, I'm going to go into Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer and I'm going to die." And Peter puts his arm around him. "Jesus, no way is that going to happen." Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." Whoop, open mouth, insert foot. They're up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John, and Jesus. And Moses and Elijah come down, and they're talking. And it's like, "Ooh, this is cool." Peter says, "You know what we should do? We should go build 3 tabernacles to remember this moment." And all of a sudden, the voice of God speaks out and says, "This," Moses, Elijah gone. Jesus is the only one there. "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." Oop. You know, I think Peter's spiritual gift was jumping into things. But Peter had a privilege that none of the other apostles had, because Peter was the one who took the keys to the kingdom. Remember, Jesus renamed him from Simon to Little Pebble because he was a chip off the big block. And Jesus said, "I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom." And so now every people group that will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, when a new people group would do it, Peter was there. And he couldn't give them the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost was not his to give. But he was there to be the witness of the Holy Ghost being given to those people. So when the Gentile first received Christ without needing to be circumcised, I mean, that was like a big deal. And Peter was there to say, "You know what? I got the keys to the kingdom. I know that it's not through circumcision, it's through Jesus." And those Cornelius and his people, they spoke with tongues. And nobody could argue against that. That wasn't something that they could have faked at that moment. Peter was there when the Samaritans received Christ. The Samaritans and the Jews, they were enemies. But Peter, he stands up and he says, "Listen, it's by Christ." And the Samaritans receive the salvation apart from anything else. He knew that he had to put his gift to work. And that's what we have to do. We have to put the gift that God gives us to work. Second of all, if I'm not willing to speak with the authority of truth, then I have nothing to say. It talks about speech here. And as it talks about our speech, the speech that we're supposed to have is supposed to be that which would come from God himself. That's how we are to communicate. And how do we communicate when we communicate with backbiting, or we communicate with gossip, or we're just rude? We're supposed to use our mouths to speak the authority of the truth of God, the oracles of God. Then thirdly, if I'm not willing to suffer, then I'm not willing to trust. Because really, that's what suffering comes down to. It comes down to trust. If you're not willing to suffer for Christ, then you don't really trust him. If I'm not willing for my life to have a little bit of inconvenience, then I don't really trust Christ. But let's just be honest, people. So here's what we like to do in our faith. We say, "All right, God, I'm going to serve you as long as it can be from here." And as soon as God moves us out of here, what we do is we cause problems.
We cause problems for other people. We cause problems for ourselves. And we don't promote the cause of Christ. You see, God did not call us to a life of comfort and ease. He called us to serve. And part of serving is suffering. There's a man, he got a new dog, and he took the dog out to test the dog, you know, threw a stick out into the water. And the dog ran out onto the water, walked on the water, and got the stick and brought it back. The man is like, wow. He did it again just to make sure that he wasn't seeing things. Again, the dog ran right out on the water, picked up the stick and brought it back. And the man's like, this is amazing. This is the greatest dog ever. So he's like, my neighbor's got to see this. So he got his neighbor. He brought his neighbor out there. And he said, you've got to see this. My dog can do the most amazing things. And he took the stick and he threw it out on the water. The dog ran out on the water, picked it up, ran it back. And the man looked at his neighbor and said, isn't that amazing? And the neighbor looked at him and said, yeah, your dog doesn't know how to swim. But you see, how many times are we missing the great things God is doing because the view from here is a lot different than the view that's out serving. The view from here misses the great things. You know, some of you say, you know, I hear about these great stories about what God does. I've never experienced it. It's because you never got out of the chair. You say, well, I hear these things of people, they lead others to Christ. And I've never got to do that. It's really hard when you got your feet propped up, when you're leaning back. It's really difficult. Peter's not teaching us a faith that rests in a recliner. He's teaching us a faith that gets out and serves. In Acts chapter 3 and 4 and 5, Peter, he understood suffering. He was walking into the temple, he and John. And as he's walking into the temple, there's a man there who can't walk. And the man's begging. And the man says, alms for the poor, alms for the poor. And Peter looks at him and he says, silver and gold have I none, but this one thing I have, stand up and walk in the name of Jesus. Get up! And the man stands up for the first time in his life, and he's over 40 years old. The man looks at Peter, what do I do? Peter says, get your bed, get out of here. He puts his bed and he's jumping up and down. He's rejoicing because he's been healed in the name of Jesus. So the Pharisees walk over and they say, Peter, what did you just do? Oh, what do you think? The guy couldn't walk, he can walk now. Yeah, but whose name did you do that in? Well, I did it in the name of Jesus. Oh, that explains it. That explains it. Yeah, see, Jesus, he was a regular Sabbath breaker. And we can't have that. So what you did was wrong. So we need you to come with us. And Peter has to stand trial because a man who couldn't walk for 40 years could finally walk. Peter knew what it was like to suffer for Jesus. He didn't just suffer that. They beat him. They're afraid to do anything more to him because the crowd of people, they're like, he healed the dude. How can you do that to him? So they just beat Peter. Peter knew what it was like to suffer. And you know what? Praise him for it. You know what the angel did? The angel went and got him. And pulled him out of prison. Now, Peter's not only a criminal, because he healed a guy in the name of Jesus on the Sabbath day. Now he's an escaped convict. See, guess where Peter goes? He goes into hiding, right? No, he goes right back to the temple, the place where they arrested him. And he continues to preach Jesus. Maybe if we just caught the right kind of focus, we'd be willing to suffer for Jesus. Maybe if we got our minds off of all these other things, Because the things of earth, what do? They grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And this morning, we're here to get up out of the recliner. You know, the sad truth is, there's probably a lot of us that the only impression we've made here at 12th Street is we've left a good seat imprint in the pew. Because we haven't gotten up out of the recliner. And today, that's what this is about. It's about having faith in God enough to say, if I suffer, that's okay. Because, verse 18, I want to commit my soul to his keeping. Will God let you down? God didn't let Peter down. Oh, sure, he got thrown in prison all the time, and they're always trying to kill him, and finally they just crucified him upside down. So what? He was suffering for Jesus. That's okay. That's worth it. Because he knew that it brought glory to God. That is the only ambition of our life. Bring glory to God. That is the only desire that we should have. Bring glory to God. That should be the target of everything that we do. It's to bring glory to God. And so you know what? We got to put this thing away. And we've got to step out and say, God, I'm going to do it for you because I trust you. Because I know that you have great things in store. I know that when I bring you glory, that brings a smile to your face. And no matter what I suffer here, it's okay. Do you love God like that? I want to read again. Just a couple things here. First of all, George Gallup said only 2 in 10 Americans who call themselves Christians said they would be willing to suffer for their faith. Only 2 in 10 people that were surveyed said that they would be willing to suffer for their faith. Verse 17 in 1 Peter 4 says that it's time for judgment to begin at the house of God. So let me just tell you this. Busyness is not always related to service. You can be busy from a recliner. Know how you can be busy from the recliner? You can be on the phone. You can be switching the stations.
You only serve when it's comfortable.
You've
never left the recliner. Secondly, commitment is key.
Verse 16 told us you have to Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. If you suffer as a Christian, you bring glory to God. Verse 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. And so that's my challenge right now. You know what this is really all about? It's about commitment. It's about saying, I'm going to dump the lazy boy. And I'm going to live for God. I'm going to quit trying to be comfortable in my faith. And I'm going to step out into the unknown. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would have your will in our lives. You would have your way. I thank you for the example of Peter.
I thank you, Lord, that a man who knew how to step out of suffering, he challenged. Lord, I pray that right now as we close out this service that any here who have never been willing to step out and suffer for you, that haven't showed that